Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas is once again in the grip of a deepening drought, but this time it could be different. If things don't change, could this be the big one? Dry conditions have stretched across large parts of the state, putting pressure on reservoirs, groundwater supplies, agriculture, ranching, and its communities, while raising the risk of wildfires as temperatures climb. And in some areas, the drought has intensified to extreme levels, with much of Texas seeing a dry start to the year. And the big question is, how long will this pattern last? And could this mean, what does this mean heading into the hotter months ahead? To help us understand where Texas stands right now while going through this drought and whether or not there is any real relief in sight, we're joined by John Nielsen Gammon, the Texas State Climatologist, the Director of the Southern Regional Climate Center, and the Regents Professor of Atmospheric Sciences at Texas A&M University. And John Nielsen Gammon, welcome back to Source.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So how bad is it? Could you describe the current drought in Texas?
Well, it's hard to give a blanket summary of Texas drought because so much, the state is so big and has had quite a bit of different experiences at different locations. Most of the state is experiencing a combination of short and long-term drought, though there are only a few patches that are not abnormally dry at this point. But the most severe conditions are from south central Texas down to the Mexican border, as well as parts of the Big Bend region. Those areas are predominantly in extreme to exceptional drought conditions.
So pretty much in our area, South Texas.
Yeah, that's right. From basically Austin, San Antonio, College Station line south to the Gulf Coast and the border.
Okay, let's focus on that area. So what makes this drought in South Texas especially concerning compared to an ordinary dry spell?
Well, especially around San Antonio area and the Hill Country, southern part of the Hill Country, it's been dry for a long time. Other parts of the state have had some one or two wet years in the past half decade or so, but South Central Texas has been unusually unlucky. It's missed out on a lot of the rain. So there hasn't been a past 4 years for Bexar County, for example, have been below normal in terms of rainfall, and the only other time there's been this long a streak with this little rain was the drought of the 1950s.
I'm seeing trees that are dying, old trees, trees in the city, trees out along the highway as I drive towards the Rio Grande Valley. It seems to be taking its toll.
Yeah, if it continues, well, it's already, you know, we're talking about drought of intensity that's only occurred twice in a century at this point. And if it does persist much longer, it would become the most severe drought in South Central Texas history.
When we talk about comparing what we're doing now to the drought of the 1950s, which is the drought of record, Texas has changed a lot since then. We have a lot more people and a lot more water-intensive industry here. So even if we just kind of get close to that drought of record, it's still going to have a different impact.
Yes, the impacts will be different. There's also more irrigated agriculture, probably, than there was in the drought of the 1950s. So more demand from all directions. Of course, the water supplies have been diversified to some extent, depending on location. San Antonio has tapped into more remote water sources and also aquifer storage recovery. Those methods aren't necessarily available to smaller communities and smaller water systems that don't have the wherewithal for the capital improvements. The impacts will probably be the greatest in more rural locations. And the amount of water available has expanded somewhat, but not nearly as much as the population.
So are we just talking about the simple lack of rainfall, or is there more heat making dry conditions worse?
Both are happening. The rainfall in South Central Texas basically had a long-term upward trend until the latter part of the 20th century. But then we've been getting a series of droughts, and it's not at all clear whether that's a downward trend that's going to continue or as part of a longer-term variation. But the part that really is persistent long-term trend is the increase in temperature. And, well, it's simplest to measure drought based on how much rain fell. What matters is also is what happens to that water once it does fall. And with higher temperatures, we get greater evaporation rates. So that means for surface water, you have water evaporating from lakes more rapidly that's not available for human use. You also have water evaporating from soils, both directly and through plants, more rapidly. And that means that when the rain does come, a lot of it has to moisten the ground and get the ground saturated before percolating through and making it down into aquifers or running off into streams and then getting into aquifers that way. So the problem is when you do have a dry spell, things dry out faster and it's harder, takes longer to recover when the rain does return.
Well, I'm reading about moisture levels in the ground and not being where they should be. So that's telling us, I mean, when I go outside and the ground's dusty, it's dirty. I mean, it doesn't hold together. It's not a moist loam.
Yeah, that's part of what happens. The organisms in the ground start dying when water's not available. And so, yeah, the soil becomes more mobile. You get more intense dust storms when the wind kicks up. We saw a bit of that over the past couple of days also with when the cold front came through.
So remnants of the Dust Bowl, is also in the forecast?
Yeah, unfortunately, you get an issue with dust. You also get an issue with smoke because in places where you had some rain and then it's dried out, like actually parts of the hill country got a lot of rain, unfortunately, in some cases during the summer, but then it's buried and dry, very, very dry since then. So grasses grew, fuel grew, and then it's dried out. And so we have enhanced fire risk until things green up again with the coming warm weather.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about the weather pattern, the trends, what's going on with the climate. And so we have the state climatologist with us, John Nielsen Gammon. He'll take your calls and questions, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we will be joined by Katie Padilla Stout. She is the Democratic nominee for the 23rd Congressional District of Texas. She will be running against Brandon Herrera in the general election. He is the Republican nominee. We're going to be talking to her and finding about her positions and how that campaign is going. But right now we're talking about an ongoing drought across Texas, but mainly here in South Texas and into West Texas. With us is John Nielsen Gammon. He is the Texas state climatologist. So we've described the situation. It's dry. It's hot. There's not a lot of water falling out of the sky. And so what does that mean in terms of this pattern that we're in? Earlier you said we've been unlucky in the fact that when rain does come across Texas, we're getting a lot coming up from the Pacific side across Mexico and sweeping across Texas, and we just miss it here in Bexar County. Is it luck or is it something different?
Oh, I think it's luck because, if it were – well, even things that we know affect the weather on a seasonal basis, things like El Nino and La Nina, they tend to affect large swaths of the United States. For example, La Nina, which actually most of the past several years have been La Nina years, that tends to produce dry weather during the cooler times of the year, all the way from California to Florida on average. Doesn't mean the whole southern half of the United States is going to be dry. Usually about two-thirds of it is dry. There's going to be some places that are unlucky for every one of those 5 or 6 years. And this time around, it's been South Central Texas.
All right. So which are we in right now? Are we in La Nina or El Nino?
We're coming out of a La Nina right now. Pacific Ocean temperatures are warming up a bit. And, in fact, the overwhelming favorite in the long-term forecast is for development of El Nino conditions by the middle to end of the summer. And so that would favor increased chances of rainfall during the period roughly November through March. It would be probably something like a 3 out of 4 chance of above normal rainfall. So there's still a chance of being unlucky. It's just that you've got a lot better odds going forward if El Nino does develop as scheduled.
And that extra rainfall includes our area as well. It's not just like the Pacific Northwest type of stuff. It's
right. Yeah, basically, the farther south you go, the bigger the connection between El Nino and wet weather. And as you go north beyond, say, Kansas, Nebraska, it starts flipping over to tending to be dry to the north. So basically, the rainfall patterns get rearranged during an El Nino year.
All right, let's go to a caller, 833-877-8255. Let's go to Heather. Heather, you're on the air.
Hi, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Okay,
I'm so excited.
Thank you.
But I was commenting on the fact that in particular San Antonio, but all of Texas is growing so quickly. Houses are being built, especially the highways are expanding, especially in San Antonio, 1604. And what I've noticed is they just clear cut and build. They don't add trees on the side of the highway or on the median or anywhere. And it's been proven that planting trees helps with this heat and this drought problem. It's just cyclical. And I don't understand why they're building these beautiful highways, but there's not any green anywhere. And that's all over Texas.
All right, Heather, thank you for that. So you're not an arborist, John Nielsen Gammon, but when you have vegetation and then you have a dry spell and it kills trees, it kills grass, does that add to the cycle?
It does contribute to it. Yeah, the when you have trees, they provide cooling from the shade, but they're also able to say draw water from deeper down the soil and evaporate some of that, which actually helps reduce temperatures overall and can contribute to production of rainfall down the road downstream. So bare ground dry, dead plants and paved over surfaces tend to be hotter and drier, and that potentially can lead to a reinforcing cycle of dry conditions.
Another caller, let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi. I've got one quick question. You know, with all these billions of dollars being added to water infrastructure in Texas and all this drought and you know, running out of water, there are technologies such as atmospheric water generation where machines can pull humidity out of the air and create drinking water. I have not heard that in any discussions.
All right. Well, Chris, so state climatologist John Nielsen Gammon, are you able to address that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's been a topic of considerable interest in very dry areas such as the Middle East, parts of the desert of South America. The challenge with most of these technologies is that they cost money to produce the water, and people are accustomed to paying really very little for water supplies. And for agriculture uses, that's essential for making the food affordable. So if water gets scarce enough, those spending more money for water becomes more and more attractive.
This is a scale and a financial situation there. Another caller, Randall. Randall, you're on the air.
Hey, quick question. I have read and heard in a couple of places online in the past few years, I can't give you specific names, but, you know, like biologists expressing the theory that the Great Chihuahuan Desert, which is in northwest Mexico, right across the Rio Grande, the desert is moving east, and that maybe in a couple of centuries, this part of Texas will actually be more of a desert. I mean, could that, any of that be part of this?
All right, Randall, so desertification, is that happening?
Yeah, it definitely seems to be happening based on the normal climate parameters. Essentially, the boundary between, say, dry and wet, we measure that scientifically in terms of the ratio of how much rain falls versus how much water could evaporate. And if you get less rain falling, it could evaporate. It's an arid condition. And with higher temperatures, we're seeing that boundary gradually moving eastward. Climate change in terms of drought is sort of equivalent to taking yourself and transplanting yourself two or three counties to the west, and you can actually look west to see what's coming.
Right. So that's not good for San Antonio, Bexar County, because we're officially classified as semi-arid. Are we going to lop off the semi and just be arid?
It can potentially happen down the road but it's really an open question exactly how rainfall is going to change. We're sort of on the hinge point between apparently drier conditions in Mexico and wetter trends in the northern United States. And unfortunately, climate models give a variety of different answers. So we'll have to see how it develops, unfortunately.
What are you looking for to assess how bad this could get?
Well, for this particular drought, this is not going to be a permanent drought. We're going to have wet years in the future. Perhaps the next 12 months are going to be one of those wet years. But on the short range, next couple of weeks look very dry. There doesn't look like there's going to be hardly any rain. Next couple of weeks after that, have a better rain chance. May and June are particularly favorable for rainfall across Texas. Those tend to be the wettest months of the year. And that's going to really tell a lot of the story, because when we get to July through September, that's when things dry out. And whatever water we don't have coming into the summer, we're probably not going to have at the end either.
I think Mark Twain said that weather is what you get, and climate is what you expect. And so I guess we should just expect that things are going to be dry for quite a while. Is that about it?
It's best to expect it to be dry and then be pleasantly surprised.
All right. Yeah, and we'll be very surprised and very happy when it does start to rain and things green up again. Great checking in again with you, John Nielsen Gammon, Texas State climatologist. And when we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Katie Padilla-Stout, the Democrat for the 23rd Congressional District as a candidate. And we're taking a break. We'll come back and we'll do a pitching for our pledge drive. This is Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
I'm Ader Peralta, and I cover Mexico.